to just go back and just bring you up to speed. We've been talking, and by the way, I understand that Bill did a fantastic job on Sunday and on Wednesday, and so I just want to publicly thank him for what he did, and I just have a sneaking suspicion that won't be the last that we hear from Bill. I believe God's raising him up. I hope he's watching tonight, because I do believe that the Lord's raising him up, and I believe the Lord is wanting to raise others up. Amen. Because if we're going to grow this church the way I believe God wants to grow it, it's going to be way bigger than anything that I can handle by myself or my wife. Amen. So one of the things that we talked about in talking about Hezekiah last week, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is out of His sight. Everything that we do, God knows. He sees and knows all things. And God has the power to handle our serious illnesses and the severe crises that we face. How many of you believe that tonight? Listen, we have to continue to believe it. And when we face mammoth kinds of problems, our responsibility is to pray. I've never been given a what I would consider a life-shattering diagnosis. But when somebody, the doctor gives you a cancer diagnosis or gives you a right and left, you know, right and left heart failure, that just sounds serious to me. That just sounds serious to me. It sounds ominous, if you will. It sounds like God, if you don't intervene, we're going to be in trouble. And so when we face these problems and these kinds of mountains, again, it's our responsibility to pray and to turn our face toward the Lord and cry out to Him. And in just a minute, I want to talk to you tonight about a guy named Daniel. Now, if you know anything about Daniel, and if you've read his story in the Bible, Daniel faced some pretty serious things. Amen? He had some decisions to make. How many of you know that we all have decisions to make, but we cannot wait until the heat of the moment to make the decision? Is this working? Have I put you to sleep already? Let me assure you, when I was a youth pastor, I youth pastored in Coos Bay, and I remember telling our young people one time, listen, you can't wait until you're in the heat of the moment out at the end of Cape Arago Highway overlooking the ocean and the mood's just right, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody's making advances on the other one. You better made up your mind a long time before you ever got in a car. What I'm saying is we have to live this life of faith. We've got to live in a place where I realize and my attitude is, it doesn't matter. I'm giving this to God. God is in control. And we have to seriously and willingly turn our lives totally over to Him. Every moment of every day. And in some cases, He'll miraculously heal us. And in other cases, He just simply gives us the strength to walk through the illness or the crisis with victory. How many of you know you can walk through illness victoriously? Hello. Daniel prayed undoubtedly to the Lord when he was in the lion's den. How many of you know he got thrown? He made a decision long before the decree was written. He had made a decision that he wasn't gonna bow, he wasn't gonna pray to anybody else but the God of Israel. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had already made that determination. And it would do us good to make some of those kinds of determinations in our life before we face the crisis. Because how many of you know, in the midst of the crisis, we're probably not thinking straight. In the midst of the crisis, we don't think clearly. We make rash, irrational decisions. So we got to make up our mind about some of these things. We need to put some forethought into our lives. What's going to happen if this or this? What stance am I going to take? Daniel had already made up his mind, and he prayed to the Lord when he was in the lion's den, and obviously asked for deliverance from their mouths, and the Lord granted the request. Turn with me tonight to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. You'll have to go back and read the rest of the story. I'm just going to hit a few of the high spots tonight for the sake of time. For the sake of time. Because I got 6 minutes. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was, you gotta understand, this was his custom. As was his custom. It wasn't something that he just had. It was some forethought, some hindsight thing. It was his custom. Again, he had made up his mind a long time before. I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, if you don't fall down and worship this image that I have put up, you're going to be thrown in the fire. And they said, hey, whatever. I mean, that's what they said. Whatever. No matter what, we are not going to bow and worship some idol that you made. And he went into his upper room with the windows open, and he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to God, as was his custom since early days. He had established his prayer life long before he was facing the battle. How many of you understand that the foundation that he laid in the early days carried him through the latter days? And so jump down to verse 16 with me right quick. Same chapter. And so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of thieves. Now, let me tell you what happens between verse 10 and verse 16. These guys had set him up. These guys that had provoked the king and got the king to write this decree and this order. They were laid in wait for Daniel to mess up. Because you know what? They knew one thing about Daniel. They knew Daniel was a man of principle. They knew that Daniel was a man that was grounded and founded on the truth. And they knew that Daniel was the kind of guy that when he said, I'm not bowing to your idols, he was not going to bow. When the king said, you cannot pray to any other gods except me, then he said, they knew that he was going to pray to God and not. You following? All right, verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, this is the king now talking. And the king says to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. See, the king saw something in Daniel's relationship to his God. He saw a change in Daniel's life. He saw something of validity in the life of Daniel that said, listen, there's something about this young boy, and I don't care what decree gets signed, he ain't gonna pray to anybody but his God. And so the king says to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, He will deliver you. And then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Wow! Would to God that we'd be found guilty like that. When your accuser, when the one that wrote the decree, before he carries out the decree, says to you, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. And then the fact that he stayed up all night fasting and praying for the guy that he just thrown in the lion's den. Is that crazy? Let me tell you something. It is crazy. It sounds crazy, but here's the thing. He saw something different in this young man named Daniel. There was something about him. Oh, man, I wish God would show us these kinds of things in our lives. It was a commendable thing when people possess character so impeccable that they can't be accused of doing wrong except in matters relating to their faith. The conniving officers could never tempt David to do anything, or Daniel rather, to do anything illegal. They knew that he wouldn't do anything off color. They knew it. The only thing that they could count on that Daniel would not back away from was his relationship with his Lord, with his God. Impeccable. These conniving officers could not tempt him to do anything illegal, but they could tempt him to make his faithful religious practices illegal. By the way, what are we going to do when they tell us we can't pray? When we can't have church? When we can't have Bibles? When we can't come together? When they tell us again that we have to shut our doors, that door and that door and that door will be open. Just saying. Daniel didn't ever hide the fact that he prayed in his home three times a day with the windows open. His face was towards Jerusalem, and his enemies knew it. And if the king made prayer to other gods illegal, then Daniel was as good as already in the lion's den. These scheming officers lost no time in proclaiming the king's decree. And Daniel probably prayed morning, evening, and noon, three times a day, his face towards Jerusalem. And his enemies wanted to use the earliest opportunity to arrest him. You can bet your bottom dollar that the next day, after the decree was signed, they were hiding outside his window listening. And as soon as Daniel began to pray, you know they ran right straight to the king. And the king was bound by that law of the land that said, I've got to do this. He couldn't get out of it. Had he not been a man of faith and courage, Daniel could have compromised. I talked about this morning, didn't I? We got to stand for what we know. And because he was a man of faith and a man of courage, he could have compromised and found excuses for not maintaining his faithful prayer life. He might have closed his windows. He might have prayed silently 3 times a day until the month was over. Or he could have left the city and prayed somewhere else. But that would have been unbelief. That would have been cowardice. He would have been scheming just like the enemy. And the Lord would have withheld the blessings from him. Daniel didn't do any of those things. It's amazing. I talked about these very things this morning. No man, a man like Daniel feared only the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you don't need to fear anything or anyone else. Isn't that amazing? When you fear the Lord, and I'm not talking about being afraid of the Lord. I'm talking about having a reverent fear of God. We need the fear of the Lord back in the church of America today, back in the lives of God's people. We ought to obey, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. The most important part of a believer's life is the part that only God sees. Our daily private life, private times of meditation and prayer. The British theologian P.T. Forsyth said, "You pray as your face is set towards Jerusalem or towards Babylon. Either towards Jerusalem or towards the world." And most of the world today begins the day looking toward the world and hoping we can get something from it. But Christian believers ought to be looking to the Lord and to His promises and enter every new day by faith. God, what do you got for me today? God, what do you want to use me for today? God, what do you want me to, how can I be a blessing to you and to your body today? Outlook determines outcome. Outlook determines outcome. And when we look to the Lord for His guidance and help every day, then we know that the outcome is in His hands and that we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Real true faith, according to D.L. Moody, real true faith is man's weakness leaning on God's strength. Man's weaknesses leaning on God's strength. And we might add to that, man's weakness transformed into God's strength. Amen. When you are weak, He is strong. So the king makes it clear that he wanted to save Daniel from execution, but all of his efforts had failed, and the situation is similar to the one described in the book of Esther. Once the law had been signed, nothing could change it. Nothing could. So since Darius was a little g god and the people were praying to him, how could he make any mistakes? And how could a little g god not punish someone who had broken one of his laws? Furthermore, the laws of the Medes and the Persians could not be annulled. They couldn't be changed. And for the entire day, Darius, King Darius, ignored all the other matters concerning the kingdom and tried to free Daniel, but all of his attempts failed. And so Daniel's enemies were on hand to remind the king that he had to enforce the law whether he liked it or not. And so at the end of the day, Darius had to call Daniel and say, "You're going in the lion's den." How would you like that? So before Daniel is lowered into the pit and the walls lifted up because they lifted the walls and let the lions come in. When, before all that happened, the king offered a prayer that Daniel's God would deliver him because Daniel was faithful to serve him continually. And so then he had the pit covered and the rock sealed and everything was done according to the law. No one would dare break the king's official seal so that the pit was opened. Everybody would have to confess that God had performed the miracle. Just like when Jesus was buried in the tomb, they put a seal on the tomb and so that nobody could dispute it. Amen? There's just no way. And so Darius arose with the first light of dawn, and he hastened and he hurried and he went to the lion's den. And before he even got to the pit, he ordered the seal broken, the stone removed, and he calls out to Daniel in an anguished voice. And in what he said, he was confessing that Daniel's God was a living God, not a dead idol. How many of you know today our God is a living God? He's not some dead idol. He's not some fairy tale from days gone by. He's the true and living God. He had the power to deliver his faithful servant. Listen. What is that thing that you and I face in our life that we're tempted to compromise and we wonder why we get defeated? We've got to have resolve, church, like Daniel had. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're facing the fiery furnace. The fire was so hot that when the guards threw them in there, it killed the guards. That's hot. I don't know when the last time you was at wildlife safari. People ain't out there walking around petting them lions. Because lions will eat you. It's true. Daniel knew what he was facing. But there's not in anywhere that I've read in the scripture, there's not ever even a hint of Daniel thinking, well, you know, maybe I, like I said earlier, maybe I ought to at least close the windows. Maybe I ought to pray silent. I mean, God would certainly understand. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They could have said similar things. God would understand. They said, listen, nevertheless, even if we die, we're not going to worship your idol. Daniel said, nevertheless, throw me in the lion's den. I might end up lion chow. But I'm not going to pray to any other God but the one true God. I'm not going to do it quietly. I'm not going to change anything about the way I've been doing it all my life since I established it early on. I'm going to pray with the windows open, my face towards Jerusalem, and I'm going to pray right out loud. And if you don't like it, King, feed me to the lions. But the God that I serve will shut the mouths of the lions. Isn't that amazing? And you know what happened? That's exactly the way it was. The very one that threw him in there was praying that God, listen, let me just build your faith. The God that you serve is going to save you. That is amazing to me. Daniel's faith brought him peace and assurance, but the king's faith was weak and it was wavering. Is your God able to deliver you, he said. Could it really happen? Could it really be? And when Darius heard Daniel's voice saying, O king, live forever, he knew that his friend, his faithful officer, had been delivered. The Lord delivered Daniel because of his faith and because he was innocent of any crime before the king or any sin before the Lord. Remember what I said this morning? That not everybody's going to be happy with our life. Not everybody's going to be happy about our church. Not everybody's going to be happy about the impact that Harvest Christian Assembly is going to make in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Not everybody's going to be happy about that. And they might connive. They might come together. They might build up all kind of false accusations, just like these guys did to Daniel. But our stance and our attitude and our character cannot change. We got to stand strong. God saved Daniel because he brought great glory to his name, and also because he still had more work to do. I've said this before, and I'm closing with this. Kathy, if you want to come. God's servants are immortal until our work is done. I believe that. I believe God will protect us. I believe God will keep us. I believe God will have His hand upon us, and we will live until He's done with us. I want to challenge you tonight, and I want to challenge you in this time of Thanksgiving. My guess is that Daniel was pretty quick to thank God for delivering him from the mouths of the lions. I just have a hunch. Maybe we need to spend some time this week being thankful. It's Thanksgiving. Maybe we need to just spend some time this week thanking God for all the times He's delivered us. For all the times that He's watched over us. Told us to get out of our tent. Told us to be on guard. Told us to pray. Told us it's going to be all right. God is a good God. He loves us. He loves every one of us. He's mindful of the heartache that you've experienced this last year. He's mindful of the grief that you've experienced. And He wants you to know tonight that He loves you. And in the face of adversity, when everything is screaming, you're not going to make it, stand by faith and say, "My God shall supply. My God will make a way. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." You believe that tonight, church? Father, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for men and women of the Bible that made it into the pages of Your Word. That we can look at those lives and pattern in some ways our lives after theirs. And know, God, You're not a respecter of persons. And if You did it for them, You'll do it for us. So God, tonight, again we lift Janice Swan to You and Bob, asking You to touch them and heal their hearts. Heal the rhythm. God, restore correct rhythm in the heart. And God, we pray for Janice Unger tonight, that God, that what the doctors said, that there's right and left heart failure, Lord, we just stand against that and we say, she's made healed. She's made well. She's healed and she's whole. Lord, for bodies that are beaten up and bruised and sore and aching and painful, Lord, we just speak healing. God, for hearts that are broken tonight over things that have happened, God, I pray that You'd bring healing into those hearts as well. Lord, for lives, for minds, for spirits, Lord, that have been tormented over and over, for sin that has raised its ugly head up and knocked us down and stomped us in the dirt. God, may we rise up in newness of life, with a new determination that I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Devil, you might have won some battles, but you ain't going to win the war. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We are the church of the living God. And the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great week. We'll see you here on Wednesday. Amen. Discipleship 101. Wednesday night, right here, 6 o'clock. Sing something.
Not by might.